Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
You know, there's a reason that we do this segment, okay? Because sometimes the events of the week are get to be a little bit too much, and you need to take a little break. So joining me from his own isolated castle up in the great state of North Dakota is P. Kimball Holmes. So, Kim, good morning to you. How are you? Hold on. No, hold on. All right. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah, now we
good.
How are things up in the frontier?
Well, the frozen tundra is doing beautiful.
Is
it's in the 40s today, for gosh sakes.
Oh, man.
40. That's right, Mac. December 1st, and it's 40 degrees. Hey, global warming, baby. I've ordered my palm trees for next spring.
Have you ever seen any place you ever lived have crazier weather than the Northern Plains?
Not really, no. No, and it's cold or hot. It's very little in between.
And it changes between those with incredible quickness.
And so
it's you know, you guys have had snow already, yes?
Yes. And
have you been below zero at night, yes?
No, not yet.
Not yet? No, I thought you had.
Not yet. But that's what's gonna drop in a week or so. It's supposed to be in the 20s next week, and then the lows in the single digits. And then I suspect by mid-December, we'll be touching the zero, hitting the schneid.
That's normal, yes?
Oh, that's normal.
Yeah,
you have to have a car that plugs in, a house that has a furnace, and warm clothes, and then you're in the front row.
You know, honestly, if living up there is not difficult if you have those things. You need a car starter that has some good range on it. So if you have to park a little bit of ways from where you're going, you can still fire that thing up, you know, 15 minutes before you're going to leave, and you get in that car and it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. So
they have plug-ins for your car when you go into work.
Yeah, but
so you plug your car in.
But I mean, that's really kind of a thing of the past, isn't it? It's like watering your horse. It used to be that's how you kept your radiator warm.
Yeah.
You know, but
Your oil didn't freeze.
Yeah, your oil didn't freeze. But they, you know, they've done stuff with oil now, and so I imagine if you know you on really cold nights you should probably do it. But but you see less and less of that as cars and engine oil have made strides. What other, you got to have good gloves, good hat, and a coat. I would say a coat that goes over the crack of your ass. And if you have all that.
If you had a 3/4 length coat, that's what you want.
Thigh high.
You don't want any of these little short-waisted, cute coats.
No, you don't need that.
When you bend over, you got plumber's butt.
And then you have ice in the crack of your ass. No, to me, you have to have a good leather jacket for those cold days, or a good Carhartt jacket that goes mid-thigh or just above the knee. And if you have that, you can, you know, you can, you know.
Doesn't matter.
So what would you, so let me ask you this question. What is cold to you now?
Cold to me now is anything below zero.
Okay. Cold to me. Because. Cold to me is anything below 10 below.
Yeah. Well, see, you got butchified up here.
But again, that is again dependent on the wind. If you have wind, then you then those numbers go out the window, because when that
all bets are off.
All bets are off when the wind blows and the wind chill goes down. You know, you're talking, you know, 40 below wind chill, because you have 20 miles an hour wind and it's 10 below. Hello, you're like nobody doing nothing. Even the prairie dogs are underground at that point.
And then if you get an actual 25 to 35 below zero, and then there's a wind chill, then you just don't even go anywhere.
I have a mechanic friend that believes that cars are impacted by wind chill. Now, wind chill is a measure of what it feels like to your skin.
Yes.
Okay. He says, and he's a funny guy, and he says, yeah. Okay, look, I know that all you people that know science know a lot more than me about this. Okay. I only fix cars, and I will tell you this: you point your car into the wind on a cold, cold night, and you tell me what happens. Okay? Now, I know a car doesn't feel windshield. This I know. Just go ahead and do that and tell me what happens. And then he'll look at you and say, cars feel windshield. I said, I'm okay with that. I believe you. Yeah. What do those science people know anyway?
Yeah. Right, they don't know shit.
They don't know shit. So any other hints? So car. Oh, you got to have seat heaters in your car too during the winter.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, yeah. If you have, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I disagree with you 100%. I mean, when you leave your car, you turn your car seats on. High. So when you warm up your car, like my wife, her car, I could turn it on inside the Ralph where her seats were. You know where
okay,
they were.
Okay. Look, you're. Hold on. Hold on. You're speaking to other people though. You're not speaking to me. So describe what you're talking about.
Well, the Ralph Engelstad is a indoor arena that seats almost 13,000 people. And my seats are right down on the ice, and my car is parked outside the arena about 50 yards from the arena. And so my wife's car starter, we got her a new car starter, and she cranks that up for 20 minutes, and then it shuts off automatically. But just before the game's over, she fires it up, and when we get out to the car, you can open the doors because they're not frozen shut. The seat's warm, and the car's just nice and toasty. And then you get in it and drive away. You don't have to sit there and scrape the ice off your windows or whatever it is that's going on out there.
Yeah, all that nonsense. Come on, that's a thing of the past. Yeah. That's somebody.
So, yeah, that's a real big deal up here.
Yeah. How to survive the winter. Yeah, so if you do that, so you can imagine, you don't have to scrape your windshield with, you know, you're not trashing your credit cards and all that kind of crazy nonsense.
Yeah.
And you're not standing out in the cold for any length of time.
When you drive your cars up here in the winter, you have to have a survival kit in your car.
Yeah.
That means an extra pair of gloves. I have a pair of UGG boots in my car. The sheepskin-lined boots. I have a space blanket. I have a couple of candles and then another blanket and a tow rope. So those are the things you in the first aid kit, of course.
Yeah, and you throw and some water. But those are Kim's right.
A gallon of water.
And what's amazing though is
if you're going on a trip, otherwise you have at least a quart of water in your car.
Yeah, what's now with cell phones. But what's amazing is when you get snow and wind in that part of the world. They'll close, you know, there's huge gates that close the interstate.
Yes,
right?
They do.
And then guess what happens? Yeah, the gifted drive around those things, and then they get stuck. And, you know, the Highway Patrol will tell you, we can't come look for you. And, you know, you'll have people on occasion die out there. It's much like the summer between out in 29 Palms, when you have people taking a shortcut to get to Vegas, and they're elderly, and their car breaks down, and it's 120 degrees out there, and they don't have water, and they're on some road, and nobody stopped, or nobody saw them, or whatever, and you find them, and they're dead. It's that kind of cold. So.
Very extreme.
Yeah. So yeah, the Northern Plains of you know, of all the weather I do, it is the weather that varies the most. Absolutely varies the most. So the
but it's still a great place to live.
What's your give me your take on the whole Matt Lauer resigning and all of that? Pretty amazing, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, you kind of expect, you know, these rich cats that are making all the bucks, or whether it's a company or a newscaster or a movie producer, whatever they are, a politician, you know, that they're drunk with power and think they can get away with anything. And what amazes me, if you make, you know, like Matt Lauer, I don't know, $40 million a year or something.
20.
And whatever he's making, $20 million.
Only twenty.
Okay, so you're making $20 million a year, and you have to go harass people that work with you. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, like you could find something in a bar.
You're not an ugly dog, like Weinstein is. So, but you know, he's a good-looking guy. And he can go out and it's called, you know, meet and greet or whatever. But you don't force yourself like that. It's just, sick.
Lame. Yeah, that's, you know, you look at it. And, yeah, but now we, I don't know, Kim, it's been a pretty bad week for news. Pretty disappointing in terms of, You know, Congress has paid what, $17 million over 20 years, and you read the process. You read the process that the people that accuse go through. First thing, you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Then you have a 30-day cooling off period. Then you go to mediation with the person that harassed you, and then maybe you work out some kind of. So whose career does that support? Yours or his? It would be
It always supports the guy on top, excuse the pun.
Right. And I was having an interesting conversation. This and what we're talking about is not like the sexual harassment that goes into the human affairs office, right? We're not – because if Kim and I are both working as peers or approximately peers in a business – and Kim thinks I'm cute, and he's hitting on me. And I go to HR and say, hey, would you make this stop? HR's like, well, they'll be all about it, right? But let's just pretend you're the top banana, and you're hitting on me. And I go to HR and say, hey, you know, Kim's hitting on me. And they're like, Kim Holmes? I'm like, yeah, Kim Holmes. He's hitting on me, and you need to make him stop. And so they go to Kim Holmes, and what happens? You say, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
All right. So now, what do the people in HR do? They get after you, the big guy? No. They call me in and say, he denies it. And I say, what? And I've gone to my boss. Now, does my boss go to bat for me? Probably not, right? And so, thank God for cell phones.
Yeah, and then back in the day, they would say, you got proof?
Yeah, before cell phones, it was, okay.
You don't have any proof. It's just your word against his.
We'll both lawyer.
Sorry, Charlie.
Yeah, we'll both lawyer up, and guess what? At the end of it, you're going to lose, and you're never going to work in this industry again.
That's right.
And that's the way it was. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised. And again, it's not just sexual harassment. It's the sexual harassment that only powerful people can do. And I will tell you this, it's not just men on women, and I don't think it happens very often, women on men, although I'm sure it does. But in the gay community, men on men, yes. In the lesbian community, women on women in those similar positions, yes. Okay?
Absolutely.
And so it's all over the place, and we're only going to see more of it. I've got a food question for you. Hey, Mac.
Oh, thank God.
Exactly. Thank you for rescuing us.
Thank you.
Something that has gone the way of the dinosaur that I grew up on that I absolutely love is fried chicken. Does Kim have a way of making healthy fried chicken? You know what? That's the truth. You know, fried chicken, most people grew up on.
I sure did.
I did not. Kathleen baked her chicken. That's her Rice Krispie chicken recipe.
Yeah.
She baked hers, but is there a way to make somewhat healthy fried chicken?
Well, probably if you're going to use oil and fry chicken and you're not going to bake it, and you want a fried chicken, you season up some flour, salt, pepper, paprika, cayenne, however you want that crust to taste. And first you should soak your chicken in buttermilk, and you can do that for overnight or a few hours. Do it in the morning for the night. Then you take that chicken out, you shake it, all the moisture off, and it's still wet, but it's kind of tenderizes the chicken, and then you dredge it in flour, your seasoned flour,
okay. And
then that's it. Then you drop it in the fry foil.
Okay, I've never fried chicken, so I've seen people put like some frying oil on a stovetop and do it that way, but I've also seen people do it deep frying. What's the difference? Is it simply the difference in you don't have to flip it in the deep fryer, you just drop it in and then pull it out? Do you have a preference?
I prefer frying my chicken in that standard 12-inch cast iron skillet, and some cast iron have real high sides. They're like a Dutch oven, and you fill that up with oil. That's just like dropping it in a deep fryer, halfway, not all the way with oil. And if you're going to fry it in a cast iron, like we make our cornbread or cook our steaks in, then what you do is you put about a couple of inches of oil in the bottom. You get it. You have a thermostat. You check it at 375. You don't want it any hotter than that because it will burn.
375. Okay, so
375.
All right. So let me ask you: if you don't have a thermometer, right? If you don't have a temperature gauged, how am I going to measure the temperature of the oil?
Probably turn it up to, medium high.
Medium high.
Medium high on a gas stove,
okay,
or electric stove. And then you drop your chicken in and you fry it until the edges start to get brown and crisp, and then you flip it just once, just like the hamburger or the steak. You don't want to keep going back and forth because then the skin soaks up the oil. The reason you're putting it in on one side, floured, both sides are floured, but you put it, and then that crisps the skin and cooks it. And if you're doing fried chicken, you start, if you're going to do it, the breast takes a little longer than the dark meat. So you want to put your chicken breasts in, and if it's bone in, which it should be, because, you know, when you fry chicken, you have to pick the bones and suck on the bones and stuff. That's just the rite of passage with fried chicken.
Right.
And then you flip it once. And then, but you put the dark, the white meat in first, then you put the thigh, drumstick, next, and then last the wings. And there you go.
There's a specific order. Well, that makes sense. The
yeah.
Let's go back to seasoning the flour. So,
yes.
So when we talk about seasoning the flour,
yes.
We're talking about the Colonel's 11 herbs and spices. Is that what he seasoned? Is that how? Obviously.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That is.
All right. All right. Well, that makes sense.
Now, but the way the Colonel does it,
the Colonel
is he'll have your seasoned flour. And then he'll shake that off, then he'll drop it in a egg and milk mixture.
Yeah.
And then he'll take it out of there. It's got to be thoroughly coated. And then he'll drop it either in breadcrumbs or crushed corn flakes or, as your mama used to do, Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
Crushed up. But the healthiest way, because then you get a, if you like the crust and the thicker crust, then you do it the three ways. Flour, egg wash, and then your coating, your crumbs, or cereal crust.
Can I ask you, is it ridiculous to talk about healthy fried chicken?
Well, it's kind of an oxymoron. But yeah, it's, but the best way to do chicken is the way your mom did it, and that's bake it. And you just season it, and you put it on a raised rack, and you throw it in the oven at 375 and bake it. But if you want fried chicken, just flour a season the heck, and if, you know, you, whatever your favorite herbs are, you can have garlic powder, garlic salt, cayenne, salt and pepper for sure. And if you want any herbs, like parsley or oregano or rosemary or thyme, that's your preference. But, you know, I like garlic salt, onion salt, a little cayenne, paprika, and pepper.
Hold on.
If you have the garlic and onion salt,
Here's an email question for you. Mac, yeah. Yes or no to you and Kim. Do you like Kentucky Fried Chicken? Me?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I do. Let me tell you. When I have a hankering for the Colonel, man, I'll tell you, first of all, I love the skin. I mean, the skin is to die for. It's to die for. And then the other thing I love the coleslaw and the mashed potatoes and gravy, and then I love those things together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a fan. Yeah. I'm a friend. I don't eat it very often, but when I do,
I'll eat it maybe once a year just for tradition.
Oh.
But I like the, I don't like the extra crispy. I like the regular fried chicken. And then when I get it back to my seat, I'll take some napkins and I'll kind of, mop a little bit of the grease off the skin, but I don't want to mess with the crispness of it.
Yeah, you can't.
And then I love the coleslaw and the biscuits.
Yeah, that's like touching them.
If the mashed potatoes aren't scorched, because when they make mashed potatoes, they use an instant mashed potato, and if it's on the steam table too long, they'll kind of get that scorched flavor. At least I can pick it up.
No, I can't.
Otherwise, I'm with you. Coleslaw, mashed potatoes, gravy, chicken, and a biscuit. Man, I love their biscuits.
Biscuits?
With honey on it.
Yeah,
oh,
with butter and honey. Come on now.
Yes, sir. I'll admit it. I like KFC.
It's not healthy, but come on. You can't eat everything that's healthy, can you? That's ridiculous.
I never let a fat food get in my way. And if you've seen my pictures, you'll understand.
But hey, Kim, you fooled them all. How old are you right now?
73.
You're 73, man. You're playing with house money now, right?
Well, for about 10 years.
That's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Here's another email. Okay, what kind of skin? Regular, extra crispy, or something else? I roll regular, man. Kim?
Me too. I roll regular for sure.
Traditional Kentucky Fried Chicken guys. That's right. That's right. The Colonel. Come on. That food is awesome.
Look, if you're built like Mac, who runs a million miles every day, who looks
used to
as good as we did 20 years ago, then you can eat fried KFC once a week.
No, I don't.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I eat it once, and if Beth's not looking, I'll go out a second time. If she's out of town. If she ever saw me eating Kentucky Fried, I can't tell you on the radio what she'd do to me.
She would smash
you. But hey, I can't help it. I can't help myself. It's just like a hot dog. Oh, my God. How great are hot dogs?
You know what? It's one of those things that you kind of get a hankering for in terms of, you know what I mean? You're like, hot dog. You go to a baseball game, and you're watching people, like the hot dog guy, give somebody hot dog, dark mustard, whatever they put on it, and you're like, I haven't had a hot dog in a long time, man. I know they're unhealthy. I know there's like parts of rats in that thing, but damn, that stuff tastes so good. I gotta have some of that. And so, and then you have a hot dog, and you're like, damn, that's good. Why don't I eat more hot dogs? And so, this in from the Associated Press. As part of a plea agreement, former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn has agreed to cooperate with the Mueller investigation. I'd be curious to know what they didn't charge him with. Does that involve all the craziness of kidnapping people with him and his crazy-ass son? So, I guess...
Oh, look, they're both going down. They haven't even gotten to his son yet.
Yeah, that's what...
And I'm sure that's part of the reason he's making this deal.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen a guy... And what's really surprising, I said a little bit ago, is that... You know, he's an intelligence officer. He knows all these rules. Guys like me, I don't live in that world, and so you could forgive me if... I would say this, even Oliver North, right? He's not an intel guy, you know? And so Oliver North, you know, if he says I didn't really know that rule, I might not disagree with that.
You would have called bullshit on him.
No, I wouldn't have. I would have called bullshit on what he did. And then he wrapped himself in his uniform and then tried to get out of it. I would have called bullshit on that. But when the intel people, they live in a world where their security clearance is their life.
Yeah.
So to me, it's really surprising that he did what he did.
They're like gold.
What's that?
Those clearances are like gold.
Oh,
you don't mess with them.
Yeah, you don't. And so
he would.
Yeah. But you know what? It's again, it's the rules of the powerful, and which is they're arbitrary. Yeah. They're arbitrary. And
the powerful and the arrogant.
Yeah. And they seem to be more and more the same thing these days. And
they do go hand in hand.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick break. More of of All Fried Chicken Radio. Oh, I got a couple. I got a couple more. I got a couple more emails about the my love of Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'll get to those.
Oh, bring it on. Bring it on.
I'll get to those when we come back.
I'll bet your listeners are shocked that we're both hooked on KFC.
No, are you kidding? No, because we're normal. We're normal people like they are. Like, and they're more shocked when we talk about Whole Foods. Trust me. All right, we'll take a break. One of the emails is entitled "The Most Unhealthiest Food That You Eat." So we'll come back and we'll talk about more Kentucky Fried Chicken and unhealthy food. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are.
Hold on, here it comes.
I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you try?
Happy music. It is 8:46 on the West Coast, 11:46 on the East Coast. Because if you're getting hungry, because we're talking about, especially if you're a fat person, you're getting hungry because we're talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken and hot dogs, then you only got 14 minutes to go before the lunch whistle blasts, and you get to run you get to run people over on your way to the elevator to go get some food. That's right. That's right. That's why you should bring a snack. Okay, let that be a lesson to you. Is there any nutritional value in the bun that can make a hot dog nutritional? No.
There's not. Not a regular hot dog bun. No.
Wheat's bad for you. Okay, so that's the way it is. Sorry.
Yeah, there are places that do chicken dogs.
Oh, come on, man! What is that? That's bullshit.
Multi-grain bun.
Come on.
I want a steamed dog with mystery meat and a steamed bun and dark mustard. And please give me about my favorite is with dark mustard, onions, and a little bit of
ketchup.
That really fine chili. and I'll start with two, please.
Exactly. And that's called only because my wife's in the vicinity. I'll be right back. Oh, by the way, do you have some chips? Yeah, you got to have some chips when you're eating a hot dog.
Chips and a pop. I don't drink regular pop anymore.
Oh, come on, man. When you have a hot dog, you got to have high octane pop. So here's the email question: what's the most healthy? Yeah. What's the most unhealthy food that you like?
Oh, there's only one word: donuts.
Really? Like what kind?
Well, basically, a Krispy Kreme glazed donut is right off the conveyor.
That's pretty unhealthy.
With sugar frosting.
There you go.
In Switzerland, I used to eat these, they're donuts that have raspberry jam injected into the center of them.
Yeah, I never liked those.
And then they're glazed, and then they're glazed. Well, now you take that particular donut and inject
like
it with cream, that vanilla pudding, and then you glaze it with chocolate frosting. Hello, baby.
Yeah,
that's number two of the bullet for me.
Now, do you see why at 73 he's playing with house money for a while. Now, we're talking about a guy who loves sour cream. Hello?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're talking
yes.
Butter. Butter, one of his top three foods, okay? And it's not even a food, okay? But for Kim. So you can see the fact that he's still with us today, a miracle, a straight up miracle. I don't know. The most unhealthy food that I eat on a regular basis, I don't know. I like chips. I like Doritos. I like potato chips. I like guacamole. I like sour cream. So that's probably the thing that that's more of a snack. So the most unhealthy food, I eat relatively, I don't know, I don't eat anything that's too unhealthy.
Well, my wife, last week, baked these chocolate cookies, with a cherry and chocolate, frosting on top of these little cookies. And, you know, she has to lock them up in the freezer in a hermetically sealed container with duct tape all over it so I can't get to them. And then she was baking she does a blonde brownie with a maple caramel frosting on it. And I got one of those, and it was orgasmic. And she makes them for Richie West, my former bartender, and any cheesecake she makes is good.
All right, here's an email for you. Has Kim ever had a heart attack?
You know what? I haven't, because I've been fortunate enough to have congestive heart failure, I'm full of stents, folks.
Yeah.
I've got maybe 5 stents in me. I have a pacemaker defibrillator, which has saved my life a couple of times.
Brutal.
I've been pretty good the last 5 years. Haven't had any problems whatsoever.
I thought you had to be. I thought you had to be shocked awake once in the last 5. No. Is that me?
Well, yeah, that was the last time.
Okay, 5 years ago.
The defibrillator went off. I just passed out and woke up on the floor, and the defibrillator shocked me back to life.
Did you?
And,
okay, so when that happened, did you, like, start floating away, like, far and away? Did you, like, start orbiting and go to the light?
No, I didn't go to the light. That'll be a one-time trip, I think, for me.
I don't know. People talk about it like they were going to the light, and they were basked in warmth, and it felt so good. And then, like Tom Cruise, all of a sudden, he looks up and says, "I shan't be leaving you soon, Shannon."
No.
Yeah, how about that?
But I was finishing my coffee and reading the paper Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, I started to say, "What the fuck?" And I woke up on the floor, and I don't know if I was gone for 30 seconds or what, but I woke up and the paper was everywhere, and I was laying on the floor. And, Beth was driving back from, Bismarck at the time. I was by myself.
Yeah.
So I called my buddy who lived in the condo, and he drove me out to the hospital, and they hooked me up to the machine and said, "Yep, the EKG. Yep, you had a heart. I mean, your defibrillator went off and saved your life."
So what happens? Does your heart stop?
Well, it does stop. Yes.
So it's just your heart stops. You tip over, and then the defibrillator it senses the stopping of your heart, and it.
Yes. It shocked you.
It shocks the heart.
I had a paddle built into my chest, basically.
The paddles.
And so that's what pulled me up.
Right.
And then I went in and saw the cardiologist, and he did a stress test. And he says, "Yeah, your arteries are blocked. We have to put a couple of stents in there." And then that was it. I've been... I've been paying attention to quite a bit. I mean, we're just talking dirty food, but instead of eating fried chicken once a month, I maybe have it once a year, and just for shits and giggles. But nah, you know, I'm just I pay a little bit of attention for sure. I mean, I don't just sit there and eat, folks.
But let me tell you, truth be told, when your business is the food business, and you you make good food, come on, how do you not eat it?
Well, it's called sampling. I can't let food go out on the floor if I hadn't tasted it, or you know, just put a little spoon in for a sauce or something like that.
Hello.
If you don't do that, then you're not a good boss or a good chef.
Especially when it tastes really good.
Well, and then you know, like I usually have to have a little. Maybe an ounce or 2 ounces of prime rib every night just to make sure that it was cooked properly. Not every night, but you know.
Five out of six.
Yeah, you know how it works.
I know how it works.
You've been hanging around my joint for enough years.
No, that's why I say, look, Kim has lived, he's had a good time, man. Right? There's nobody, when we talk about who had the most fun here. Holmes is up near the top of the list, okay? He is. He's up near the top of the list. He's had a good time. He's had a good run. So,
folks, I got to tell your guest a little story. When I turned 70 3 years ago, my friends came out from the East Coast and from around the area. I had a dozen people came out for a little weekend of debauchery. And Saturday night, my birthday, we're finishing dinner, we're going up to the bar for more cocktails, and I'm sitting there, and everybody walks by me and drops $10 in front of me. And I said, damn it, I got this. I've got the tip and this and that. And one guy says, Holmesy, that $10 is because we all lost the bet. You're still alive. So, you know, I figured it's bonus time.
Bonus time. We love bonus time,
but,
by the way.
That's, you know, awesome. I have a liquor cabinet full of some really good stuff that I you know, I'll have maybe a drink or two every week, and that's it. I got a wine cellar downstairs that I don't I only bring wine to if I go to a party or like when I went down to Bob's house.
But okay, so let me ask you this, we got about 2 minutes. When you were in your when you were in your prime, right?
Yeah.
That wine cellar, that the steps got worn down low, right? When you into that wine cellar, yes.
You'd drink at least a half a bottle a day at night for dinner.
Right. That's to keep your red and white blood cells like balanced, yes?
Yeah, you gotta keep the juices flowing.
Baby.
You know, you drink wine for digestive purposes and for flavor.
Red wine and, hey, red wine's heart healthy.
Yes, red wine is heart healthy, but not a half a bottle, a glass.
What? Wait, when did that happen? Who made that one up?
The Heart Association.
Exactly. Those guys, they're a lot of fun. What about, hold on, one more email about Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Matt, could we go back to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and could you make your dog stop barking? No, he's on the back. I don't know what he's barking at. He's having a rough.
Jack. He,
no, that's not.
He
this
knows
is,
fried chicken.
This is, oh, Jack loves chicken wings. He loves chicken wings. Chicken wings, by the way, is a fried chicken creation simply to eat skin. Right? There's no meat in there. You're just eating skin. That's what that is all about. But here's the email.
Yeah.
Can you each give me your favorite plate to include cuts of chicken that you would build at Kentucky Fried Chicken. All right, Kim, go ahead.
Well, it would be a thigh. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
How I'd build my plate?
Build your plate.
Okay, it would be two thighs, a wing, maybe a drumstick, mashed potatoes, gravy, coleslaw, and a biscuit with butter and honey. And I split the biscuit, and so I get two halves with butter and honey on it.
No, that's
and then if I'm not that hungry, it'll just be two thighs.
There you go. Okay, here's mine. It's regular, and it's regular recipe. Mine is mine's not too dissimilar. Mine is regular recipe. It's a thigh and a drumstick, mashed potatoes gravy with some salt on the gravy, just a little bit. And no, I don't pre-taste before I salt. Okay, I just salt it, and then the coleslaw, and then I like their biscuits. I'd have a couple, and make sure I got extra honey. So butter those things up, put a little honey, and a big tall glass of, it doesn't matter to me, regular Diet Pepsi, to wash it all down with. That's right.
You need that carbonation to help your
It doesn't taste the same without it. So I'm gonna eat that and drink a glass of water. Like, what are you, stupid?
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
Like, what are you, Cherry Boy? Cherry Boy is gonna have water. All right, not me.
But my normal order is two thighs because I like all the skin on the thighs.
Yeah, the thighs got the good skin, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. Now, when you bite into the piece of chicken and the skin kind of dislodges, do you try to replace it or do you just take it and eat the whole thing?
No. It's how you hold the thigh when you're eating it, and you have to chomp straight down and through. So you just take off the skin that you're with the bite.
Oh.
You want to have skin with every bite.
So what?
My read.
It's the biting technique. You're not ripping and tearing.
Yeah,
you're biting through and through.
Yeah, you don't be foo-foo and just hold it in one hand. You grip it with both hands.
Oh my God.
So you have control.
That's awesome. All right, sir.
God, I can't believe this. This is great.
This is awesome.
We all needed a little humor today, folks.
Yeah,
way to start out with the roast question.
It's depressing. It's depressing. I didn't say, look, what happened in San Francisco really bothers me for a lot of reasons. Look, I don't know enough about the trial. Maybe that was an accident. But let me tell you, when somebody's been deported from the country 5, 6, 7 times, when they have multiple felony arrests, and the Immigration Service calls the police department and says, please detain that guy, and the police department says, yeah, we don't play your game, sorry, and he goes out and kills somebody, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. It's awful to lose your daughter who dies in your arms saying, Daddy, help me. Come on. It's just so discouraging. But anyway, Kim, thank you for the hour of levity. We certainly appreciate it. And I got another text message that says, thank him for sharing.
Well, thanks for asking. And you sent me on my weekend adventure in good spirits.
All right. Good luck with
Take care, brother.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Living on borrowed time, Kim Holmes. That's right.
Playing
with house money and having a good time doing it.
Can you dig it? Oop, oop, doop, ah.
The best of the chef says right there. Let me tell you, I was listening last night and I was sitting here laughing, right? And I was a part of it. And still made me laugh hearing it again, especially when he gets like into details about how you hold a piece of chicken to
to make sure you get a little bit of skin with every bite. Oh, my God. And I'll share this with you. This, I just received this about 60 seconds ago. The bottom line is Kim's making progress. He's more alert and he's following commands. A huge turnaround from Wednesday and Thursday. So keep him in your prayers. And hopefully we'll get his funny ass back on the air pretty soon. Until then, you know what? You know, I will go through. He and I didn't think it was appropriate today, but he and I did a, given where he is physically, he and I did a show about putting the fun back in funerals, right? And it's this thing I have about do your own eulogy, right? Because everybody's going to come and you're dead, right? And so you send somebody up on stage and say, you know, this is a little bit different, but Kim did his own eulogy, or Mac did his own eulogy. And you do funny stuff, and you make everybody laugh, right? And so we have a discussion about that that's funny. Now, I didn't know if that was appropriate that I put that on today, but until he comes back, you're going to hear the best of. And let me tell you, there's, you know, we've done some really funny stuff. And Kim's a funny guy and a fun guy. And so you'll hear that next week. Putting the fun back in funeral. He talks about his tie-dyed casket that he wants. He wants to have a tie-dyed casket and then be cremated. And so it's a pretty it's pretty funny stuff. But I appreciate everybody's concern. I'll read you a couple emails. Thanks, Mac! Exclamation mark. This is from Nancy. Nancy went missing for a while. For the Friday foodie fix, you and Chef Kim rock. Love and prayers ongoing. Thinking of you on your first communion day. Yeah. That's right. On my first communion day. Big stuff. Yeah, my cousin Linda made her. And we had a joint party that day. From Bob Nielsen. Good luck, Kim. No, you know, like I said, he and I met. It didn't have anything to do with radio. And and so then I started doing radio. And the guy who I was doing radio with was like a big shot in town. And he used to eat at Kim's place all the time. And so he is, so he would do this Christmas show with Kim. And so we go down to Kim's restaurant to do the show. And I'm like, I know you. And he looks at me. I said, I borrowed a screwdriver from you a year ago. And he starts laughing. He goes, that's right, for your vacuum. You even brought it back. I said, I did. So, he and I, like, so Kim's has this relationship with this other guy. And so when that guy left, I took his job. And so I called Kim and I said, hey, would you like to come on with me? Because I was like nobody, right? Just starting out in the radio business. And, I would go on to win a Marconi Award, just so everybody knows. Yeah. But anyway, he says, I'd love to. And so we do it, and we had a blast. And I said, would you come back next Friday? Or I think we started every other Friday. And then we started doing it every Friday, and it's been like that ever since. Ever since I've done radio, Friday has always been a fun day, and has always included, you know, the chef. And whether I did it locally or whether I've done it here on All Marine Radio, the response to him is the same, right? That he's a funny guy, his own hippie self, right? Loves food, right? Loves food. And he's just a great, guy. So again, keep him in your thoughts and prayers over the weekend. The good Lord willing, he'll continue to make progress. And the first step is to get him home, that he's healthy enough to go home. And then we'll go from there. So, again, I appreciate everybody's text messages and emails. They started early this morning. So thank everybody out there for your concern. And I will pass that along to Miss B, who, you know, again, who's, they have no kids, right? Kim's what she has. You know, she told me the other night. She said, you know, Mac, it's kind of scary. He's my guy, you know? And so keep her in your prayers as well. So if you're missing, if you're just tuning in, hour one, to me, yesterday reminded me a lot of the Watergate era. And for those of us that were alive in Watergate, and I was a teenager, but, you know, you read these stories about this thing that happened, and then they traced it to the White House, but it didn't involve the president, right? And then it went more, and then there was questions whether the president was involved. Then the president was implicated. All right, and the whole time you're like, no, the president. And then all of a sudden you learn the truth. Well, to me, yesterday was reminiscent of that. And you saw, you know, the notes of things that said, we have nothing on Mike Flynn. And then you learn that the acting attorney general, Sally Yates, is stunned in a meeting at the knowledge that Barack Obama has, right, relative to Mike Flynn. And then you think back to the memo, the text messages between, right, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page saying, where they say something like, the White House wants to know everything that's going on with this. And so, you know, it's disturbing. And then you see Adam Schiff ultimately, you know, he kept telling the country he had evidence about Mike Flynn's involvement. And then it turns out he had nothing. He had nothing more than the FBI had. And so Schiff stands to me there as a liar. And then you have the Mueller report. I mean, where was this stuff? And evidently, there's more coming out. And what's coming out is worse than what we've already seen. And these people take an oath to the nation. You know? And so, to me, I mean, yesterday's up there in terms of in my life days that were stunningly, stunningly disappointing. It, you know, rival the Watergate days. And really, what you have was a conspiracy based on a belief that in no way, shape, or form was ever corroborated by the FBI, by the Mueller report, by nobody, by the intelligence networks. You see James Clapper's statement, I never saw anything empirical that said that there was a link between Trump and Russia. And so, you know, you see that stuff and it's like, wow, how the hell did we get to such a place? So anyway, we talk about that. Talk about an unemployment rate that is hovering near, you know, depression numbers. The only time we've seen these kind of numbers. Right? Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. And then you have governors saying, I won't choose between health and the economy. Well, you better, motherfucker. I don't know if you read much about the economy or the depression. Read about that shit. It didn't last for 90 days. Everybody didn't just go back to work. And we have this, again, because we haven't had anything like that happen in such a long time, we have this idea in our head that we'll just turn it on and everything at some point works, right? Yeah, because that's what we know. It's like the way we forgot why you have a savings account, why you're supposed to have, you know, a savings account. So all this stuff that we've forgotten as a nation. Let's talk about that. And then also, if you're a Navy Marine Corps guy, Ambassador Brathwaite, former Rear Admiral, United States Navy, testified yesterday and had some pretty pointed things to say about the Navy, the culture of the Navy, and the failed leadership of the Navy. Pretty pointed stuff. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to edit that stuff, and I'll play some of it for you probably on Tuesday. Grant Newsham will join us on Monday, but on Tuesday probably play it for you. And then see if I can get Will Cosentini to come on and talk about it. He a Naval Academy guy, and so we'll talk about it. Ohio man just bombed in this. Fuck Schiff. He needs to go down. So you have a conspiracy based on innuendo, right? And then in theory, substantiated by a bunch of bullshit in the Steele dossier that's paid for by Hillary Clinton, that's used to wiretap political guys, that is then used to go nowhere. At that point, the director of the FBI circumvents what is usual, customary, and normal relative to interviews with White House staff and sends his guys over to the White House because he thinks that, you know, they really won't know what's going on. They convince Flynn that he doesn't need a lawyer, and then they essentially entrap him. And then the Mueller Commission, which Comey forces by releasing things that he wasn't supposed to release, whitewashes the whole thing. Tidy bow. And none of it's true. Is there a conspiracy in all of that? And that's, you know, again, I hate when Sean Hannity's right. You know, this whole concept of the deep state. But let me tell you, that's what you're seeing. These son of a bitches who take an oath to the nation, but believe that they know better than our system of government knows. Scary shit. So anyway, you'll hear that in hour one. And then you'll hear our Kentucky Fried Chicken. Our fried chicken that morphs into how much we love Kentucky Fried Chicken segment. So anyway, have a great weekend. I appreciate all your emails and text messages relative to the show. He's one of my besties. So, on a Friday, All Marine Radio, over and out.